Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. I want to welcome everybody online, any of our other churches that are joining in with us today. I think we can all relate to moments like that where all of a sudden our plans were interrupted and what we had hoped for, maybe even prayed for, believed for, it just didn't happen and it didn't go our way. The unexpected interruptions actually happened to all of us all the time. I had a recently unexpected interruption that changed plans for me in my life when about a month ago I received a letter from my HOA. Let me just say, you don't receive letters from your HOA unless there's a problem. They're not sending Christmas bonuses out just because you live in the neighborhood and go, hey, we wanted to give your $200 back just to bless you this month. That didn't happen. The reason for the letter was my front yard was out of compliance. See, I'd done a backyard project earlier in the year that was completed in summer, but they had to tear up my backyard or my front yard to get to the backyard. And I do all my own landscaping. It's like the one handyman skill that I actually have. I can't fix anything else, but I can plant plants, man. And so I was kind of doing it on my own pace, but truthfully, the front yard had just sat with dirt for 6-7 months. And the HOA knew that my project was done, and so I got this really nice letter that said, if this is not done by the end of the month, we will fine you, and you will have to appear before the HOA board. And so all of a sudden, that interruption, it changed my timetable a little bit. Like, I got on it, and I knew I couldn't do it by myself in that amount of time, and so I called a friend who actually does landscaping and said, hey, can you help me out? And I paid him, so he said yes, and helped me out. And we knocked that thing out in a couple weeks. And here's actually a picture of my front yard done. I went with the Waterwise Desert Landscape, as you can see right there. And I had my Christmas sign up in my yard. But I experienced an interruption. I wasn't planning on doing it. I wasn't planning on taking care of it that way. But something happened outside that changed something for me. And while interruptions might be good or bad, all interruptions have this in common. They change things. And they change us. And really, the Christmas story that we find in Scripture, it is a story of interruptions, about God interrupting the status quo of history at just the right time through the birth of Jesus. God interrupting the plans of two young adults by the name of Mary and Joseph. God interrupting the plans of some people called the Magi, the wise men. God interrupting the plans of shepherds. And what we want to do today on this Christmas Eve is just look at some stories in Scripture that surround the birth of Jesus, these people that experience these unexpected interruptions, and see if we can't learn from some lessons how they handled their interruptions to help us with the interruptions that are inevitably coming our way in the new year. The Bible talks about these kind of seasons of life, these interruptions, if you will, that oftentimes bring joy and other times bring sorrow. And here's how the Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 3. It says, for everything that happens in life, there is a season, a right time for everything under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to collect the harvest, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Even if you're not a Bible person, you might know that, especially if you like 60s music, because the birds turned that into a hit in the 60s. But it's this famous poetry in Scripture that it's beautiful in one sense as it talks about the changing seasons, yet it kind of casts a little bit of a dark shadow in another sense, letting us know the inevitability of changes that come our way. And some of those changes bring joy, and some of those changes and interruptions bring sorrow. I'm going to share a song with you right now that it's called Seasons. And what I want to ask you to do at the very beginning of this journey that we're going to look at around the Scripture story of Jesus and the interruptions that surrounded him and the people that kind of key people in this story, I want you to think about your own interruptions maybe this past year. Interruptions that came your way. Unexpected things that changed things for you and probably even changed things for the people around you. And I don't want you just to think about those interruptions, but I want you to consider the hope that the Christmas story gives us. That in the middle of the interruptions, God is always working a plan. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't understand it, and he's always working a plan for our good. Consider that as you hear the song Seasons.
Like the frost on the rose, winter comes for us all. Oh, our nature acquaints us with the nature of patience. Like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow. For your promise is loyal, from sea to sequoia. And I know, though the winter is long, even richer, the harvest it brings. Though my waiting prolongs even greater, your promise for me like a seed.
The Christmas story that is told in Scripture, it is the story of us and how a season because of Jesus changes everything for us. You see, Scripture talks about Jesus' birth as this incredible interruption for a few key people, but it was an interruption that changed everything for all people. Luke records the interruption of this young teenage Jewish girl by the name of Mary, who is visited by the angel Gabriel. And here's what he says. He says, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now this has to be the most exciting interruption of history. Mary is, you know, just going about her everyday regular life. She's, you know, doing chores, she might be in school, she's doing all of these things, when all of a sudden she is hit with this unexpected interruption that she is chosen to give birth to Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who would bring hope and healing and forgiveness to all people. Now, you would think that a first reaction to really being the chosen one would be that you would be so excited, you would just go tell everybody about it. I mean, if this would have happened to a teenager today, she would have already Instagram storied this and hashtagged it favored woman of God. Like, that would have already been done. Everybody would have known about it. But Mary's first response to this interruption, it was not excitement. Let's keep reading. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. I mean, it's not every day an angel shows up to talk to you. And at that moment, Mary had no idea that because of this interruption in her otherwise regularly scheduled life, that because of this interruption and ultimately her faith-filled response, which we're going to look at in a moment, she had no idea that she would become one of the most revered women in all of human history. She had no idea that cities would be named after her, churches, beautiful cathedrals, an NFL pass. She had no idea of all these amazing things that would be named after her in this moment. I mean, as a teenage girl with this interruption, she has no idea of what's going to happen here. That because of this moment, that her face would be presented in more paintings and pictures, even though no one really knows exactly what she looked like, but that Mary would be so revered that her face would be presented in more pictures and paintings than any other woman in the history of the world until Kim Kardashian comes along. That's just the sad truth. So here's Mary, this teenage girl. She's scared. She doesn't understand. But the angel makes it abundantly clear what's going to happen, that God has interrupted her plans for a reason. And there's something that God has been at work doing throughout all of history so that he could redeem all people and bring them back to himself. And so the angel says, you are going to give birth to the Messiah. And he explains how this is going to happen, even though she's unmarried, she's never been with a man. And then after the angel explains this, Mary has this amazing faith-filled response. And here's what she says back to the angel at the end of this interaction. Look at this. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." In other words, she's saying, whatever it is you are doing, whatever it is that you want to do, God, I am all in. You see, when interruption hit Mary's life, just like when interruption hits our life, we always have a choice. We have a choice of how we respond. We can respond with hows, or whys, or blame, or we can respond with trust, and with faith, and with hope. And that was what Mary did. Mary didn't have all the answers. The angel didn't say, and here's how the next 30 years of your life are going to go after you give birth to this Messiah. She didn't know how the story was going to go. Yet even in the face of the uncertain, she chose to trust. But interruptions don't just affect us. They have this ripple effect to them, and they affect the people around. And this is what happened not only with Mary, but Mary was engaged to a young man named Joseph at this time. And so all of a sudden, now that she had this, you know, immaculate conception happen, not to be confused with the immaculate reception, Steelers fans, that's something totally different, okay? It is Sunday and it is football day, but that's not the same thing. So imagine now Joseph, he has his plans interrupted. That he finds out this girl that he loves and he's going to marry, that she's pregnant. And so he decides, he's a good man. He doesn't want to ridicule and shame her more than she already is in this culture because she's pregnant and unwed. And so he decides that he is going to leave her quietly, that he's going to break off the engagement and he's going to leave. But all of a sudden, he has his plans interrupted again, also by an angel. Look at this. Matthew records this. As he considered this, as Joseph was thinking about the breakup, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. So the angel explains to Joseph, hey, this interruption, it's for a specific purpose. It's good. But I don't want you to miss this, because even though this interruption was from God, and I am not at all saying that all the interruptions that hit our life are from God. We live in a broken, fallen world, and not everything that happens in this broken, fallen world is from God or of God. But the promise of Scripture is that God will be with us in the middle of it, and that's actually the message of Christmas, that in the middle of our brokenness, God chooses to be with us. But even in this interruption, don't miss that even though God said, hey, I am doing something, will you trust me? Will you have faith? The angel didn't spell it out for them. I mean, this was a huge scandal. This would have brought Mary and Joseph incredible difficulty. And I think sometimes we just brush over that when it comes to the Christmas story in Scripture. That it was, oh, okay, the angel told them and everything was fine. Notice the angels didn't go to Mary's parents. Imagine being Joseph and selling this to Mary's parents. No, it's not mine, I promise. It's from God. Right? Like every teenage boy's hopes would be that. Like, but that, this would be incredibly difficult. So they had to face the ridicule and the shame of their community. And they had to trust God and they had to have faith. And so understand, even when a good interruption happens, it requires us to have faith. It requires us to have trust. And so in the face of all this uncertainty, Joseph has his own kind of faith-filled response. And here's how Matthew says it. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. So here's Joseph facing uncertainty, yet he chooses to trust and to have faith as well. And over again in Scripture, here's what we see around the events surrounding Jesus' birth. Interruption after interruption after interruption. God interrupts Mary's plans. God interrupts Joseph's plans. We don't have time to get into it, but God interrupts the plans years in advance, probably about 18 months is what most biblical scholars think of these people called, you might know them in the story as the wise men or the magi who came from afar that were told by looking at the stars what was going to happen on this special night in Bethlehem. And God interrupted their plans. And then we read about God interrupting the plans of this group of shepherds. So from the rich and wealthy, the magi, the elite of society, to kind of the lowest of the low of society, shepherds, they have their life interrupted by this birth announcement of Jesus. And we read about the shepherds just outside of Bethlehem on that night that Jesus was born, having their lives interrupted, when an angel shows up. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but whenever an angel shows up in Scripture, people are terrified. I know we all like to think, man, we'd love to have a supernatural experience and see an angel. You might want to reconsider that. And at least have a change of pants next to you if the angel visits. Because every time you read, I mean, we think of angels as kind of these chubby little baby figures with diapers and wings, and that would be magical. When you read Scripture and an angel showed up, people were scared to death. Because angels, if you read about them in Scripture, they're pretty huge and pretty fierce. And pretty majestic and full of glory. And so this is what happens to these shepherds. They're just out kind of doing their job on this night Christ was born. And read about this. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were, what is that word? Everybody say it out loud.
Terrified.
They weren't excited. They weren't thankful. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. And then here is the Christmas message. If you're not a Bible person or a church person and you're wondering, why do all these church people get all excited about Christmas? Here's why, because this is the Christmas message, what the angel said to them. The angel said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Everyone say good news.
Good news.
Say great joy.
Great joy.
Say all people.
All people.
That's the Christmas story. That Jesus' arrival, it is good news that if we really understand it, and that's our hope today, that you walk out of here understanding the Christmas story a little more, because if you do, the natural response to that should be great joy, realizing what God has done for us through Jesus. And who's it for? It's for all people. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's invited. Anyone can get into the kingdom of God. That's the story of Christmas. And so the angel says this to them, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, at this point, I just want to pause here and acknowledge the craziness of some of these stories in Scripture, because I realize if you're not a Bible Jesus person, you're not a church person, this is pretty much equal plane of fairy tale land, okay? I mean, we got virgins conceiving and angels and bright lights. All we're missing is a reindeer that talks with a red nose at this point. So I just want to acknowledge the reality that if you're a little bit of a skeptic, when you come to this, like this can be kind of like, really? Like, people believe this is what happened? But I just want to challenge you. Just play something out with me intellectually for a moment, whether you're a Jesus follower or not. And that is this. That if Jesus is who Scripture says, that he really was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit, which means he's God. If Jesus really is God, and he really was born when and how Scripture tells us, and he really lived and did the things that Scripture said, and he really did die on a cross so that he could be the one-time sacrifice for all people so that everybody could be reconnected back to God, that if all of this really actually happened, I think you'd intellectually have to just admit, whether you believe it or not, that if that is true, that is really, really good news. For who? For everyone. It's good news that will bring great joy to all people. That's the Christmas story. But I realize for some of us, the idea of Jesus and good news, that just does not go together. Some of you, you know, when you think of Jesus, you don't think good news. Sadly, you think mean people because of previous church experiences that you've had. For some of you, when you think Jesus, you don't think good news. You think religious rules, control. For some of you, when you think Jesus, you don't think good news. When you think about Jesus, you think about some confusing ancient book called the Bible that sometimes is really hard to understand, and I get that. And so let me just say that if there is anything about Jesus or the Christmas story or really church that in your mind doesn't represent 100% good news, then let me just say maybe someone or something distorted the Jesus story for you at one time or another. Maybe somebody misrepresented something that Jesus said to try to manipulate you. Or somebody misrepresented something that Scripture says. And if that is part of your story and you don't think of Jesus as good news, I'm sorry, because we Jesus followers, and we sometimes get it wrong a lot of the time. Because on that very first Christmas night, what did the angel say? That the Jesus story, it's 100% good news. It's 100% good news that brings great joy to all people. And part of the good news story of Jesus is that when we start living in this new life that is available with him, that in the middle of difficult interruptions that come our way, challenging interruptions that come our way, that we can have a peace from God. And this idea that there is a supernatural peace available in the middle of a broken world is actually part of the Christmas story as well. Let's jump back to the shepherds. So the angel appears to them, says, this baby has been born. It's good news for all people. And then look what happens out in this field outside of Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And what is that next word? Peace. Some of you might remember this as part of the Christmas story where it would say, and peace on earth and goodwill to man. It reads this way in the voice, and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. What does that mean? Peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. Peace on earth for those who are following Jesus, who are walking in Jesus' ways. And so here's what I want to ask you to do. This Christmas, will you let peace into your life? The supernatural peace of God that is available in the middle of life's interruptions, in the middle of those unexpected change of plans where you saw your life going this way only to have something happen that changes everything. And the story of Christmas is that God is with us and that he loves us and that he is for us. I want to share another song with you that is called Peace Be Still. And during this song, what I want to invite you to do is that I want you to, again, consider your interruptions, because no doubt you've had interruptions this past year. For some of you, they've been really good. a marriage proposal, a pregnancy announcement, the birth of a healthy child, a job opportunity that you didn't see coming your way, a bonus or a raise or something that you didn't see that positively has affected you and the people around you. But I know for others of us here today, some of those interruptions haven't brought joy. They've brought sorrow. They've brought pain. They've brought hurt. Maybe your life was interrupted this past year by divorce papers, by a cancer diagnosis, by a loss of a loved one. And what I hope that you hear today in this idea that God can be with us in the interruptions is that even while some interruptions will cause pain and hurt, that interruption doesn't have to be wasted. Because we can take any interruption and let God use it as a catalyst to turn our heart towards Him. And in those moments of life interruptions, like Mary, like Joseph, we can choose to trust. We can choose to have faith. We can choose to believe that God is with us in the middle of it, that He really is good, that He really is loving, that He really is for us, and He really can give us peace. And so maybe you're here today and you would say that, man, maybe this last year you just kind of been running your life in your lane on your terms, and maybe this would be a turning moment for you to open your heart to Christ. Maybe for you it would be just simply to let His peace be with you this Christmas and as we end this year and start the next. So I pray that you open your heart to Christ. This is Peace Be Still.
Dress the boy.
One of Jesus' best friends, John, does a great job summarizing why the birth of Jesus is 100% good news that can bring great joy to all people. John 3:16 and 17 says this, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." If that's true, I think that's 100% good news that will bring great joy for all people. Here's what he's saying. God loved and he gave. That's the gift of Jesus. Why? Not to judge, not to point a finger, not to bring shame, but to save. To offer us hope, to offer us healing, to offer us forgiveness, to offer us peace in the middle of our interruptions. And I pray that as we close out this year, Christmas is this beautiful time of year, not only to remember the birth of Jesus, God interrupting history to reconnect us back to himself, but it's also at the end of our calendar year, which gives us a great opportunity to kind of reset things going into the next year. And so I want to pray for us. I want to pray that this year, as interruptions will be coming your way, because some of you are looking back on this last year, you're like, man, things went pretty good. Well, I have some bad news. Interruptions are coming. They're coming. This is how life is. Unexpected things are going to happen. And in those moments, I pray that you respond with faith and trust and you experience God's peace. Let me pray for all of us. If you're here today, just while everyone's eyes are closed, and you would say, you know what, James, this year has been especially hard for me. And I've had some difficult interruptions, some unexpected things happen. I just want to pray that God's peace would be with you in a special way as we end this year and start the new year. And if that's you, and you would just say, man, I really want to open my heart to Christ and experience that peace through some difficult stuff, just raise your hand. I'm just going to include you in a closing prayer. Right on. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are a God of peace. And that in the middle of the brokenness in this world, your presence is right here and available in this moment right now. And God, I ask that as we celebrate your birth, remembering that you came ultimately to show us what love looks like, to shut down religion, our attempts to get to you, to set up your kingdom so we could see a new way to live in love and ultimately to save us from sin. As we remember that and we celebrate that, God, would your presence be in our lives. As we gather with family, as we gather with friends, God, would we be able to have a heart full of peace and joy that is found in you? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.